Yeah, I got out of the Air Force in 2000 and moved to Frisco, and that's where I came in contact with the Lowrys. Had the wonderful privilege of knowing your parents, Hubert and Janie, and just wonderful warriors in the kingdom, and just blessed to know them and work with them there, and of course, Kevin and Terry and the kids as well. Grateful to be here with you tonight for the purpose of speaking with regard to the Christian as a soldier, and just want to express my gratitude for the invitation and to know that this work is taking place. There's so much that's going on in the Brotherhood that we're often not aware of because we're at a distance too far to be familiar with it, and it's just good to know that this good work has been going on for so long in this community. I have driven through Maybank, I don't know how many times, but I've never stopped before. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just never had a reason to stop, but seems like a wonderful community, and I'm sure you enjoy living here. The idea of an army or some type of military unit seems to be a very fitting metaphor comparison when you think about God's people in the church, in the kingdom. We are, in many respects, an army of soldiers. I think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, how he encouraged or admonished Christians to take up the whole armor of God. And think of all of the equipment, so to speak, that is outlined in that passage of Scripture, both protective gear and even a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we are soldiers. We are a military unit of sorts. And we have armor, we have equipment, we have training. We are to be ready for the battle. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says we're to be sober, to be vigilant, for our adversary is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy that we are fighting against on behalf of God in the world in which we live. I think when most people think of the military, especially young boys, I know this would have been the case with me. I take note of all of the equipment, you know, the weapons and the uniforms and all of just the very neat and appealing aspects of being in the military. But war fighting is much more than tactics and training and readiness. The ability to be in a military service and to be a warfighter requires much more than what you might be given to do that job. It really gets down to who you are at your core, what kind of person you are going to be when things get tough and when your safety or when your life is on the line. I remember when I went to basic training to be in the Air Force in 1988, graduated from high school in 86, went into the military in 88, and I got there. And when you first get there, they call everybody rainbows because they're all wearing different clothes. And you look just, it's very colorful. And so your nickname is a rainbow. That's the stage that you're in and your preparation to be in the military. Now, that's the first day. I came in the middle of the night. And so the next morning, we're lined up. We're marched to a place where we're stripped of the clothes that we have. We're given uniforms that all look alike. And it doesn't matter how much hair you have on your head. You have none when they are done with you. And so the process begins of transforming you into the kind of person they feel like they need in order to accomplish the mission that you are going to be given. Military branches instill core values into their soldiers or their warfighters. You might think of some of the elite military units in our military branches. I think of the Navy SEALs. And I think of all of the training that they get and all of the ability and the practice and all of the tools of the trade that they have access to. But you likely know as well as I do that there is much more that goes into their preparedness. I mean, they literally break those guys down to nothing in order to build them back up and to instill in them the character traits and the core values that they're going to need to perform some of the most unbelievable missions that they're going to be called upon to do. And so, who you are, what you can become, is very important in the military environment or setting. And so that begs the question with the assignment that we have tonight, is there a place, is there a necessity for core values in the Lord's army? As we think about the church and our membership in it, is there some kind of transformation that needs to take place in us to change the way that we think, the way that we behave, in order that we can accomplish the mission that God has given us to do? I believe there is, and I think that we can see that in our course of study tonight. The material that's in the handout is certainly it certainly parallels with what I'm going to do, but I am going to kind of back up from that a little bit in our approach to this subject tonight and fill in around it, I guess is the best way to say it. So here's the first point of observation that it seems important for us to make. Why? Let's answer the why. Why are core values so important to a spiritual warfighter? Why is this? Why can't I just, you know, be fluent in the scriptures and be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks me the reason that hope that is in me with meekness and fear? Isn't that enough? Or is there more to it? Well, I would remind us of when David was being selected to be king, and Samuel had an idea about who that might be, but God changed that plan. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, God says something very important to Samuel. Do not look on his outward appearance. That's how men judge, based on outward appearance. But God looks upon the heart. He looks inside of the person to know who they are at their core, to know who they are as an individual and what they are capable of. And so why are core values, why does it matter so much who I am on the inside and the capacity that I have to become what God wants me to be? Why is that so important? Let's spend some time thinking about that. First, let's think about core values. I'm going to use that term a lot, and it's central to the way that I'm approaching this study. So what is it? Well, a core value is a principle or a belief that is believed to be of central importance. You see this a lot in the corporate world, and I have had time in my life to work in the corporate world and know that in businesses, they usually have a mission statement, some statement that gives an idea about what this business is trying to accomplish. And then in that mission statement, there are core values that the company believes are necessary in order to meet that mission. And so maybe you're in the corporate world. Maybe you know what your mission statement is. Maybe you're familiar with the core values that exist there. When I was in Memphis going to preaching school, there was a private school in Memphis called Harding Academy. And I would drive by the high school every once in a while, and they had a marquee out front. And one day I drove by there, and on the sign it said, "Integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do." And I thought, that's odd. because I just got out of the Air Force, and those are the core values of the Air Force. And so here's this private school that has these core values on their marquee out front. Well, in the congregation that I was worshiping with, there was a lady there that was a secretary for the president of the school. And I said something to her one day. I said, I noticed y'all have the Air Force core values on your sign out front. And she said, I didn't know that's what that was, but it makes sense because our president just got out of the Air Force. And so he had brought what he was familiar with from his time in the military, these core values, and was using them in that education environment as core values as well. And so I've introduced them. The Air Force core values are just that: integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. What does that mean? Well, integrity first means doing the right thing all the time. And sometimes we will say, even when no one else is looking, I'm going to do what's right regardless of who might see it or whether anyone will see it or not. The second one, service before self, is the opposite of self-preservation. That is very important in a military setting because it's not just about you, it's about the unit, it's about the mission. And so are you going to be someone that when things get rough and tough, you're going to seek to preserve your own life, or are you going to look out for the interest of others and the mission above your own well-being? And then excellence in all that we do, and that just is simply an unwillingness to accept mediocrity. I'm not going to do anything in a mediocre way. I'm going to do it with all of my might and to the best of my ability. In the military, a unit is made up of individuals who have adopted and are committed to the core values of that unit. Now, each military branch has their own core values, and they differ from one another, but they all have them because they all understand that we need to be on the same page in order to accomplish the same mission. And that's more than just tactics, equipment, and training. It's about who you are at your very core, hence core values. The Lord's church is very similar in this regard. We are individuals who have come together to make up a unit, a cohesive unit, the church, the kingdom, the body of Christ, the house of God, all one and the same. But we have come together as individuals to accomplish a mission, ultimately the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the world, to seek and save the lost, and to encourage and edify one another so that we all get to the end, we get the mission accomplished together. The language in the Bible is clear that this is a metaphor that God has used by inspiration to show us what we are a part of. I think of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, where Paul tells Timothy, this charge I commit to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, listen, that by them you may wage a good warfare. A good warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so who we are at our core is extremely important. And the gospel, just in a very similar way, if we can make a parallel here, just like when an individual gets to basic training in whatever branch they enlist in, just like they are transformed to adopt these core values when we come into God's kingdom, there's a transformation that takes place. And our growth and development is from the inside out. And I hope to show us tonight that there are some wonderful parallels in Scripture to a practice that is often used in the world to get people where they need to be in order to accomplish secular missions. God was already at this business in His Word as it relates to the church. To understand the importance, or why it is so important that who we are on the inside be incorporated into our being soldiers, we don't have to look very far in Scripture to see some examples of why it's so important. I think of Achan, you know, in Joshua chapter 7. Just think about the influence that man had on a nation of people, on God's people, when it came to who he was on the inside, his core values, if you will. They experienced a great victory at Jericho, but when they got to Ai, things didn't go so great. God's people faced defeat at Ai initially. And you're likely familiar with that account in the unfolding of the why that this man had taken of the spoils of Jericho, the very thing that God had said not to do. And if you think about the core values, let's just take, for example, the ones that we're using that I was familiar with in the military. Think about that. Where's the integrity in what Achan did? Where is the service before self in what he did? It was very self-serving. Where is the excellence in all that we do in what Achan chose to do on that occasion? At least as far as those core values and characteristics are concerned, he didn't demonstrate any of them. You move over into the New Testament, over to Acts chapter 5, and look at Ananias and Sapphira. You can see a very similar story play out with them. There was a great need in the church in Jerusalem at that time, and people were selling land and taking the proceeds to the apostles to be distributed according as anyone had need. And so Ananias and Sapphira, what did they do? Well, they sold land. They lied about what they got as far as proceeds from it. They kept back part of it. And so if you just run their behavior through that template of core values, where's the integrity? There's not any. Where is the service before self? What they did was completely self-serving. And where is the excellence in what they are doing? Where is the absence of mediocrity in what they were doing? No, it was full of mediocrity. There was no excellence in it at all. And so as we go through this tonight, and we look at these examples of individuals who just failed in this regard, it would be good for us to examine ourselves and to ask, do my core values, who I am deep down in the basic elements of who I am, do they match God? Or better yet, do I have the capacity to transform as God wants me to and to adopt the core values that he has set before me as a child of his? I think of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To me, that speaks of core values. And so what are God's core values for his soldiers? And I'm not suggesting tonight that we can boil them down and package them into a simple list of three, but what I would like to do is apply the template that we have discussed already just the Air Force core values. I would like to apply that template to what the Bible already says and see what we can learn. One of my mentors in the counseling environment, who's also a preacher of the gospel, has always said, and this statement has really stuck with me, that in his work as a counselor, any effective technique that he has found that was successful in counseling was already rooted in a biblical principle. I believe that to be true. God knows best what's good for his people. But I believe that's true in this regard too. In the secular world, maybe it's in a business, maybe it's in the military, in the instance that we're focusing in on tonight. If a entity has found something that works and that's proven and tried to be a successful principle or practice, there's a good chance God has already said something about that. And I believe that to be the case with these three core values that we're talking about. So let's apply this military template to Scripture for just a moment and see what Scripture says about these three core values. In the first place, the Scripture calls God's people to a life of integrity. We are to be people of integrity, ready to do the right thing all of the time, regardless of what the consequences might be. The psalmist said in Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. That's integrity. And what about Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8? Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Look at this. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, uncorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. I think back to Job and the conversation and engagement that God and Satan had about Job. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan couldn't attack Job's character. He had to go to the route of saying, if you'll take everything away from him, if you'll deny the blessings, then he'll surely curse you and to your face. Well, Job was a man of integrity. He did exactly the opposite of what Satan accused or said that he would do. He held fast his integrity and did not sin against God or charge God in all that he experienced. And so what about a soldier in God's army? When our enemy accuses or charges us, will our integrity hold true? Well, the Bible speaks to that. We're to be people of integrity. What about the service before self? The Scripture calls Christians to serve others. I think about Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45, where Jesus says, whoever desires to become great among you, what? He should be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first, he should be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Service before self. And what about Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look each of you out not on only on his own interest, but on the interest of others. And then Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Look at this. In honor, giving preference to one another, or preferring one another, depending on your translation. And so the Scripture calls us to serve others, not to serve ourselves. And then that last core value, excellence in all that we do, in God's army, in the church, in the kingdom, there's no place where we could say our very best is optional. We are to be excellent to the best of our ability in all that we do. God has never accepted mediocrity from his people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Or Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know, sometimes it's hard when you're working for men to give your very best because maybe they lead in a way that doesn't deserve the very best. And I know that in my time in the military, I had people over me where it was hard to serve them and to let them lead and to follow their leadership if I just looked at it that way. But as a child of God, we are to follow, we are to give our very best, and even when it's difficult because of the people maybe we're working for, we're to do it as unto the Lord, because ultimately that's who we serve. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to be diligent to present yourself unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, but for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. It's interesting that this very first attribute or characteristic that we are to adopt that is part of determining who we are at our core is moral excellence. Excellence in all that we do. And I would point out that this is not a buffet. You know, it's not, I pick the core value that serves me best, but they are all interrelated. Integrity, service before self, and excellence in all that we do. And I'm not suggesting tonight that the Air Force sat down with God's word in a meeting and said, okay, we need to come up with some core values. Let's do this because we found it in the Bible. I'm not suggesting that at all. That's probably the last place they looked. But it is interesting. That's something that seems to work so well for a military unit consists of things that God has already addressed in his word as it relates to who we are and what we are supposed to be on the inside. So having seen the importance of core values and having observed that scripture is saturated with similar admonishments as these, it seems like it would be of good value for us to notice some of our favorite Bible characters, individuals in the Bible, and maybe to appreciate why they are our favorites. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but these are some that came to mind for me, and I would like to spend a few minutes looking at some of them. So in the third place here, some Bible soldiers who demonstrate their core values. I want to begin with Uriah the Hittite. Here is a man that in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 is described as one of David's mighty warriors. And so you know what unfolded in 2 Samuel chapter 11 with respect to Uriah's wife and King David. When the armies of God were all fighting in the battle and David was at home, he occasioned the opportunity to see Bathsheba bathing. And being attracted to her, he called for her. And so he had an adulterous affair with her. She became with child from that incident. And now David is posed with a dilemma. How do I cover this up? Now, I love David. Described by God in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. But where's the integrity in what he is about to do? Where's the service before self? Where is the excellence in what he is about to do? So, you know, he brings Uriah home and tries to formulate an opportunity for Uriah to go home and be with his wife and maybe to take David out of the picture and for the situation to look like it's Uriah's child instead of David's. But when I look at Uriah, I see a man who had core values. And there are a lot of them that could be pointed out, but since these three are on our mind tonight, just notice the integrity that Uriah displayed, the service before self, and the moral excellence of this man. After David's attempts to send Uriah home had failed, instead of going home to his wife, he slept on the porch at David's house. And when David questioned him about this, why he didn't go home, listen to what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 11. The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I go to my house and eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Integrity. Service. Concerned more about his fighting compatriots than he is going home to be with his wife. And just a man, at least on this occasion, that demonstrates the excellence of character that hopefully we would all desire. I love it when integrity meets head on with cowardice. And it did on this occasion. And integrity won out. And you likely know how this ends. David sends Uriah back to the front line of the battle, to the hottest, the most heated place in the battle. And he sends Uriah's death warrant in Uriah's hand. Uriah takes his own death warrant back with him. An amazing man, at least on this occasion, and one who demonstrates for us the kind of core values of character that we're talking about. I would turn our attention to Stephen next. There was an issue in the church in Jerusalem where the Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. And so some men of upright character, there are qualifications for those men there. Stephen is one who meets those qualifications and is appointed to the work of serving tables. But we don't get far in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 before we see Stephen preaching the gospel. In chapter 6 and verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And so he's confronted, and he ends up in a situation where he's preaching. And he gets to a point in his message in dealing with an unruly group who's very resistant to the message that he's preaching, that he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Here's a man that is facing death because of the message that he's preaching. And he doesn't back down. Why? Because I would suggest to us he's a man of integrity. He's a man who's demonstrated is willing to serve others rather than serving himself. In this occasion, he's not serving himself by calling them what they are in a way that's only going to heat things up. And then when they decide they're going to stone him to death, if you think he was a self-serving man, listen to what he says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. Lord, do not charge them with a sin. Integrity, service before self, and excellence in everything that he did. So Stephen is a man of core values. What about Daniel? Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. And building up to that, we have a situation where the Babylonian kings had a dream and no one can interpret it. And so he has issued a decree that all of the wise men are going to be killed. And this news comes to David. And David volunteers to try to address this problem. And so he petitions God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego involved in that, petition God about this matter, and God reveals to Daniel this dream and the interpretation of it. It's interesting in Daniel chapter 2, verse 24, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men in Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. He willingly, voluntarily puts him in a position about which he doesn't know the outcome, but he does that in service to others. You know how that unfolds. He gives the interpretation. He's promoted in the kingdom, and in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, we are told that Daniel has found favor because he has an excellent spirit. Chapter 6 and verse 4, the governors and the satraps don't think much of that excellent spirit. And so they are looking for a way to charge Daniel concerning the kingdom, the Bible says. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. You can see the core values of Daniel coming on full display here. He's a man of integrity. He's a man who is serving others. He's a man of excellent spirit. He is one of moral virtue. And so they petition the king that if anyone petitions either man or other God except for the king, it should be put to death. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home into his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he was accustomed to do. Here is a man who is not swayed by the danger or threat to his life. Here is a man who is willing to serve others, even if it puts him in harm's way. Here is a man that does not offer God mediocrity. If you go and you pray, Daniel, then you're going to risk your life because the king has said that anyone that does this is going to be put to death. As soon as he knew it, he went and did exactly what he always does. Because threat, a change in circumstance, should not change who we are at our core. Maybe one more tonight as we look at various individuals in Scripture who have demonstrated their core values for us. I think of Nehemiah, a man who in captivity was enjoying a position of royalty, really. But he knew there was work to be done in Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 5, he asked to leave that place to go back to Jerusalem to build the wall. In chapter 5, verses 14 through 18, we see that he practically funded that mission himself. In chapter 6 and verse 11, there are threats against his life, but he declined self-preservation when he was threatened. And in 52 days, facing organized opposition, Nehemiah was instrumental in building that wall. Then, true to his core value character, he gives God all the credit. Chapter 6 and verse 16, it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. It was God who did it, and he gave God credit. Just one more example of an individual who wasn't just an outward show of righteousness and godliness, but someone who at his very core was the kind of person God wanted him to be, and that came in full display when those core values were challenged. The last one, it seems appropriate to circle back to the Apostle Paul. He embodied God's core values. You know his life's work. You can see his integrity. You can see how he served others sacrificially. You can see that he gave his very best excellence in all that he did. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also all of those who have loved his appearing." The demonstration of our love for God's appearing is seen in who we are at our core, in the values that we display in our service to him. None of these individuals were perfect, and neither are we. But they were men of integrity. They served purposes higher than themselves, and they did not offer God the scraps. So just a few questions for myself tonight, and you as well, if you're willing to think about them. When no one is watching, am I the same soldier that I am when everybody is paying attention to me? Because that speaks to my integrity. When looking at how I spend my time, my energy, my resources, are they mostly spent on me? That speaks to my service. And when I bring my efforts before God, whether it be in worship, whether it be in study, whether it be in some kind of service extended toward others, am I bringing my very best, or am I bringing what is left over from what I have? This has to do with my excellence. What I want to be and what I expect you want to be is someone God can use, someone that God's unit, the church, can trust, and someone who can say, in the final day, when our work here is done, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. If that's what motivates us, then we are well in line with the core values that God wants us to adopt, to be the very best that we can be and to serve him to the best of our ability. Thank you for your kind attention.